You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, May 27th. Hope everybody had a really nice holiday weekend. Greg Bach is in Radio Park. Parker Olson is in Madison. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Coming up in just a bit, author Laura Bird will be joining us, and we'll talk about summer reads. What are going to be the hot new books this summer that you might want to consider picking up? What's the best way to go about picking up those books? And what's the best way to go about learning what's coming up next in the world of literature and book publishing? So we'll look forward to talking to Laura coming up at about 7:30 for that. A very busy day on the comment section today, and so I want to hit the I'm going to go a bit out of order here because I want to hit some safety matters first. Robin Tigerton says there were a lot of UTVs, ATVs, and Jeeps out and about, also a lot of campers. And from Cassandra, in talking about the last segment where there was, you know, jet ski fatalities, drownings, driving fatalities, Cassandra writes, yes, please wear your helmets. Get off the phone while driving. Don't be crazy. I've been getting help texts all week because we're so busy in the ICU, which, again, we see that in summertime anyway, but you can do your part to reduce that and to be safe and to be careful out there, especially when the weather is as glorious as it was over the weekend here. Not so much today and tomorrow, Brittany, but then it appears to be a really big warm-up coming up later on, but we got to get through these first couple of not-so-great days first.
Yes, we sure do. I think this weekend was absolutely perfect, crisp, beautiful. I mean, we did have the 10th coolest Memorial Day weekend, 3-day stretch that we've had. So, I mean, it was crisp out there. We usually see a lot of rain showers too, but it was nice to see those dry conditions. And now we've got the system lifting from the south. It's actually headed off to the northeast, but it is still going to swing some chances of showers our way. So we've already got the cloud cover from it. We're going to stay mostly cloudy today, even through tomorrow as well. Some light sprinkles are possible this afternoon, and then some spotty showers, especially far northwest this afternoon and evening. And then those spotty shower chances continue through the day tomorrow too. Very light, on and off, maybe a quarter of an inch from La Crosse to Milwaukee and south. Further up north, you have less chances of that. But high temperatures today in those upper 60s to scraping the low 70s. That's today and tomorrow. And then we're going to be hitting into the 80-degree temperatures as soon as Friday. We kind of cool off for the weekend, but we go right back to those 80s for next week as well. So summer weather is right around the corner. We've just got 2 days to cool off still.
Okay. And so more precautions. This one from Alicia. I burned half my face on Sunday just hanging out with friends. Just half the face. So, you know, sometimes take your friend and reposition. And Cassandra, I was very dumb. I let myself get burned twice. I'm very Irish, she says here. So it was very pleasant weather. But yeah, the sunglasses, the sunscreen, all of that needs to be part of your to-do list for any given big sunny day. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 49 degrees. It was a very beautiful weekend. I was mowing lawns, watering plants, and watering the plants that are hanging on the streetlight posts. There, that's what he meant to say. Said yesterday he had a cookout with his sister Lori and her family in Caroline. The food was good. I was stuffed and then took pictures of the sunset near Marion. I was down by the Tigerton ATV and UTV park for a walk where he mentioned earlier the seeing all the ATVs out there. He says about his colonoscopy a couple of weeks back, no cancer issue whatsoever. So thank you, Rob, for sharing that. Okay. Says, I hope you all had a super weekend, and I wish Dr. Kristen Lyerly would run for governor. She brings passion and excitement. I wish there was more like her. We were talking in our last hour about the potential candidates for governor if Governor Evers decides not to run for a third term. One more from Rob here. On the highways, slow down. I have seen people passing in the no passing zone along Highway 45 close to head-on collisions. Yeah, I've seen a lot of that really aggressive driving out there, and there's just no reason for it. And I can't even blame Illinois. You know, there's Wisconsin plates and Minnesota plates. Everybody's got to take it down a notch out there on the roads, please.
Seriously, slow down, take a breath, right? Oh, yep. Nothing's worth the rush.
No, and especially if we have, like you said, a little bit of precipitation, slick up the roads. It's also construction season. You may come upon an area that you weren't expecting, you know, that's started with some road work. We've really made it sound like it's just wrap yourself in bubble wrap. Don't even leave the house today, kids. You know, look at Parker and Greg. They can just sit here. They got this great job. They are not, you know, in harm's way at all. Well, except from the abuse from the host and all the people that write in. But, you know, look at Parker just nods and says, Parker, it's radio. You got to say amen to that, brother, or something like that.
I mean, yeah, that seems right.
I really want to hear Parker say amen to that, brother. Please say that. Please
amen
say
to that, brother.
There it is.
There it is. Alicia says, on a side note, I look like the Batman villain Two-Face.
Go to a doctor.
It is the worst sunburn to have when it's just on like one side of something, you know?
When you sunburn your ears, oh.
Mm-hmm. Too sensitive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or maybe this isn't for Brittany with her long hair, but the back of your neck, if you do everything, but then you forget the back of your neck and, you know, suddenly that. Yep. Now you've got itchy shirt collars for the rest of the week or whatever. So, all right. All right, everybody. Stay safe out there. Use your sunscreen. Slow down on the roads.
Happy summer.
Yep. Welcome to Nanny State Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thank you, Brittany. Have a very good day.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you in our next hour. And again, author Laura Bird is coming up in a bit, and we'll talk about summer reads. I wanted to share a couple of things here about what a big day it's going to be on June 14th for a couple of different reasons, however. There is, of course, it's Flag Day. It's also the birthday of the U.S. Army. And, well, it's also Donald Trump's birthday. And so he wants a military parade. And during the first term of Donald Trump, the Pentagon opposed that, said, we don't want to mix politics and the armed forces. But as reported by the New York Times, in Mr. Trump's second term, that guardrail has vanished. There will be a parade this year. And right now, the current plan calls for 28 Abrams tanks at 70 tons each. Make sure what's going to happen to the roads in Washington, D.C. 28 Stryker armored personnel carriers, more than 100 other vehicles, a World War II-era B-25 bomber, 6,700 soldiers, 50 helicopters, 34 horses, 2 mules, and a dog. Again, from the New York Times. The Army estimates the cost to be up to $45 million, but could be higher because the Army has promised to fix any city streets that the parade damages, plus the cost of cleanup and police are not yet part of the estimate. Again, $45 million as we're cutting things like, you know, school lunches and health care and things like that. Well, so on June 14th, there will also be some protests. Among the protests that are being organized come upon a theme. The theme is called No More Kings. And it obviously is not that tongue-in-cheek anymore, given the way that Donald Trump talks and, acts in terms of, you know, his dictatorial style. Well, there will be these local protests all around the country, and that's going to include here in Wisconsin at some communities. And what caught my eye was an article in the Lakeland Times out of Minocqua that spelled out the recent happenings of an Eagle River City Council meeting and a rather contentious discussion involving the First Amendment. The article in the Lakeland Times was written by Fred Williston, and it was all about the organizers of a No Kings rally, and they weren't looking for a permit to protest. They don't need that. The First Amendment's on their side. But local organizer Catherine Craffey and others made a request of the city to use an amplifier so that they could use, you know, a microphone during the event. And so the rally, Crafty said, is it's a protest linked with a national event under an organization named Indivisible. And the No Kings rally protest would go from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it will be a peaceful protest. But then came time for questions. And Alderman Jerry Burkett of Eagle Rivers immediately wanted to ask about whether the protest needed to be where they're planning it to be, Rotary Square. And he said, I have absolutely nothing against this event. I have everything against the location. Rotary Square was a lot of work with donations of time and money from a lot of people. Rotary Square was designed for people to rest and relax while other members of the family are shopping our streets and buying goods. It's got a public bathroom, nice picnic tables, well used by a lot of people. The right to free speech is appreciated, fought for. But I called a spokesperson for the Chamber of Commerce who said, please no protests here. If there's a protest there, there's a percentage of the people that are going to leave downtown Eagle River. I called the Eagle River Revitalization Program, another spokesperson who said, we absolutely understand the right to protest, but please not during June in Eagle River when the tourists are here. The problem, Burkett said, is that 50% of this nation is one way and 50% is the other way politically. And he said he didn't think the city council should risk having 50% of the people in downtown Eagle River on that date leave town or be disgusted with Eagle River. And that's where the discussion kicked off, of course, about, you know, protests and the right to protest and the location of the protest. And it was awfully reminiscent of the Republican convention in Milwaukee last year when there was such a push to move the protest zone away from, you know, people, which seems to be the whole point of the protest. And again, a respectful, peaceful one, not one that is going to disrupt business, because as the local organizers noted, they're customers too. And that, frankly, they pointed out that during a past event of theirs, it brought traffic into downtown Eagle River and into their shops and things like that. So is it really about the concerns of the business, or is it about the concerns of what the people are saying? Now, we have no way of knowing, but if this were going to be a, you know, a pro-MAGA event, would we be hearing the same concerns from the same people about the impact on businesses and traffic? Or would it be, just be, well, it's, there's a big military parade going on that day. It's the president's birthday. So let's all wave the flag and all take part in it. I mean, I know which way I feel the discussion would go. But again, as one of the organizers said, let me just say respectfully that the public park belongs to the public and not necessarily to the downtown businesses. So how did this all end after this very long discussion about the First Amendment? Was that the organizers said, look, if this is how you feel, we'll pull back on the request for an amplification device, but we're still showing up. You know, some people won't hear because there won't be a loudspeaker there, but it's still going to happen. So no city council action was needed up in Eagle River, but the entire discussion itself was a very interesting reminder that the First Amendment is for everybody and that it is not the role of local government officials to push peaceful protest away simply because it's inconvenient. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Coming up later across the Civic Media Radio Network on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Alice McManus from the Center for American Progress will be along. I'm sorry, that was I got behind. Today's Tuesday. See? Not Monday. Today is Tuesday. Coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show today, Angela Lang will be the guest co-host. We'll also be hearing from Jeff Mandel of Law Forward, along with John Frank, about something called fusion voting. Let's see, Kira Sabin will be guest on the Todd Alba Show. And then Matt Nair on Air with Jane and Greg. Well, we got Greg here. So Greg will tell us what's coming up on Matt Nair on Air a little later today.
Today we have, at 9:35, we have Mr. Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. He'll be coming on talking about all the news from probably this weekend. We'll talk about all the things happening with me and Jane. And then at 10 o'clock, we had to reschedule this one. I talked about it last week, but Kathy Giorgio is an author who is on the Wall of Fame at North High School in Waukesha, who's requested that to be taken down, as they'll put her face up, but they won't have her books in their library. So she'll be on to talk about having her books banned. And then Beth Heidorn from the Racine Zoo will be here as well.
I didn't know Racine had a zoo.
Racine has an amazing zoo. It's not like, you know, like people, when people think zoo, they're like San Diego, the Brookfield Zoo, and Milwaukee County's got a great zoo too, but Racine Zoo is so good. It's nice, it's compact, it's got a great, and they have a brand new family member who has black and white and not red all over. That's a newspaper. But yeah, they have a brand new zebra.
A baby zebra. Uh-huh. Chippewa Falls is the same way. A lot of folks who would be surprised to hear that Chippewa Falls has a zoo at Irvine Park, and it has been remodeled over the years. It was rather, shall we say, old-fashioned back in the day, and now has some wonderful exhibits. And if folks have never been to Irvine Park in Chippewa Falls to see the zoo and drive around the park, highly recommend that as well. Let's continue zoo chat now with Parker Olson, who's going to tell us his favorite zoos in Wisconsin or wherever.
Zoos in Wisconsin? I think I've only been to one zoo. It's the I don't even remember what it's called. I think it's Vilas in Madison.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
That's concluded Zoo Talk with Parker.
Yeah. Big flamingo guy. That's all I got for you.
To be clear, we did not tell him there was going to be a pop quiz on this. These things just kind of pop up, as pop quizzes do. That's how they got the name. All right, turning towards some of the other stories that are happening around the state, as I was perusing some of the newspapers that are out there and, you know, reflecting the times that we live in. In Poinette, they have cut the farm-to-table meal program because of Trump administration cuts. And as a result, it means that, again, we've talked about this in Marathon County and elsewhere, that the district would get about $15,000 and work with other organizations to create a system to make local farm purchases feasible for public schools and food pantries in the area. One person who is with the school district, I believe, I want to get the name right here. Oh, yeah, Director of Food Services, Paula Larrabee. Talked about, you know, the value of the program, said we have a co-op that has worked really hard to get the vendors and get everything set up. We can do online ordering. And just to kind of have the rug pulled out from underneath us is a little bit of a shock. But that is exactly what school districts around the country are going through right now, that how with Trump in office, the USDA has eliminated all of that funding, which was going to help schools and food banks purchase food from local farmers. And so the school districts, they have to go back to, again, ordering more things that are processed from big producers out of town elsewhere, and local farmers have lost that much more of a market. Again, just reflective of the, you know, part of the times that we live in. Here's another one from up in Red Cliff, where the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa has declared a state of emergency over their child care shortage there, in part because of threatened cuts by the Trump administration to the Head Start program. It is a response to the potential elimination or reduction, and that if so, it would have adverse impacts on the Red Cliff Early Childhood Center's ability to provide care for the area's children and families. It talks about how Head Start, an early learning program, was founded in 1965. For years, it's been one of the most popular government programs out there, providing free services for parents and children up to 5 years old, including health screenings, meals and snacks, and a curriculum on financial literacy. because we always hear the, oh, we shouldn't be having handouts. Let's teach people how to make money or save money. It's in there. It's in there. And now it won't be because that's ending. The director of the Early Childhood Center, Jamie Goodlett King, said Head Start was created to work toward breaking the cycle of poverty. And without the Early Childhood Center, there are limited options for licensed and reputable care services for children newborn to five in a rural area. Many parents will be forced to stop working so they can care for their children, further impacting area businesses and services with a loss of reliable employees. And so now they turn toward the state budget and hope that some of the federal shortfall would be made up there, which is not likely because, again, while Governor Evers has proposed a major investment in keeping child care affordable and accessible, Republicans took it out of the budget entirely. And at this point, there is absolutely no indication that a single dollar is necessarily going to be restored. You'll recall in the last budget, again, they took out direct assistance for child care and added things like, you know, tax breaks if you were to, you know, have this much level of taxes, get a break on it, which obviously most daycare centers don't have, or loosening the rules that keep our child care centers safe, when what they really need right now is a serious budget investment. But instead, we still got to pay for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. The Brewers defeated the Boston Red Sox on Memorial Day 3-2. They will do it again this evening. Coverage begins at 6:05 on several Civic Media radio stations, and then it starts again tomorrow with a day game. We'll have author Laura Bird coming up next. You're up north. Welcome back. Normally, we will have Dan Schaefer on 8:30 on Tuesdays and Melissa Baldoff 8:30 on Wednesdays. We switched them around because of vacations and other things. And so Melissa Baldoff is kind enough to be here an hour from now. We'll talk a little politics and climate and the environment. And then Dan Schaefer will join us tomorrow morning at 8:30 here across the Civic Media Radio Network. But right now, coming up on 7:36, we're going to talk to author Laura Ann Bird because summer is coming. So are a bunch of new releases, perfectly timed for reading on the beach, kicking back in your porch swing with a cold one, whatever beverage you read best with. Laura Ann, hello. How are you?
Hello, Pat. Happy unofficial start to summer, right? Absolutely. I feel like Memorial Day kind of kicks us off, and here we are.
I know, it does. I have a newer hammock that I spent all of like 30 seconds in before I felt guilty about some other house chores, but at least I spent a little bit of time in there with a book. I'll talk about that one a little bit later on. But other people will spend more time in a hammock, more time on a porch swing, doing some reading, and so for a lot of folks, they're looking forward to some of the new releases that are coming out. And we'll talk about those in just a minute. But I wanted to find out from your standpoint, how you find out about these things. How do you know what's coming down? How can you be the first on your block to read something and tell your book club all about it?
Right. That's a great question. And I get asked that a lot. Well, Laura, how do you know about what books are coming out? And I have a few great tips and resources for your listeners, and they're all free, which is great. So if you're a public library user, you go to your public library, and I think every single library carries a copy of Book Page magazine, and I'm holding up the May copy right now. It comes out every month. It's free. It's usually by the reference desk, but ask your librarian where it is. And it's all the new releases for that month, and it's got great reviews and author interviews. I read this religiously every month, Book Page. If you don't live close to a library, you can go to their website, bookpage.com, and access that same information. Also at my library, at Madison Public Library, they do a great job every quarter printing these flyers called Beyond Bestsellers. And they do one for fiction, one for nonfiction. It's just like this little thing, and it's got like all the titles that they're going to be stocking on their shelves. with like a 1 to 2 sentence description of each one. So I love these. I think each library might kind of have a different publication. So ask your librarian what's available to you. But if you are a bookstore person, as I know some people are, as always, I suggest going to your local independent shop. Go there first. All the independent bookshops will have every month a copy of Indie Next. And it's this wonderful trifold publication. Again, it's free. And it's got a list of all the hot titles as recommended by indie booksellers. If you don't live close to your, if you don't have a bookstore close to you, you can go to indiebound.org. And again, you can access that very same information right there online. But that's going to really keep you in the know about what books are coming out. What are the hot titles? What's the buzz, right? Also, I suggest if you do have an independent bookshop that you love, subscribe to their e-newsletter. I get a few e-newsletters every month. It depends on the bookstore. Some come out 1 a week information putting on their shelves. So that's pretty exciting.
Okay. So now that turns us to what exactly either you'll be reading or other people will be reading. And a lot of these, I think you note, are coming out in June. So you just got a little quick synopsis on them, but help mm-hmm. people determine if these are things that they yeah. might want to add to their summer reading list.
Right. So I have 7 recommendations across a bunch of different genres. So based on whatever you love to read, I've got a recommendation for you. And of course, I don't actually have the books in hand yet because they are not out, but I have great little photocopies of the front covers. So we're going to start with literary fiction. That's my favorite genre, Pat. So Among Friends is a new book by Hal Ebbett, and he's a debut novelist, and this book is getting so much buzz. Early reviews are saying that he writes with hypnotic elegance and molten precision. So this is going to be a good one. This is about 2 families that have been incredibly close through the years. The husbands, the wives, their teenage daughters, they've spent all this time together, and they're gathered at a New York country house to celebrate the 52nd birthday of the host. And something is off this weekend. There's this curdling of envy and resentment, and it erupts into something terrible and really drives a wedge between these people that have loved each other so much. But it's supposed to be getting great reviews.
Okay.
So the next one I want to talk about, if you like speculative fiction, think sci-fi, The Unmapping by Denise S. Robbins. And this is exciting because she's actually a Wisconsin author, but this book is getting great buzz. It's an exploration of a city's descent into chaos and confusion. So it starts at 4 a.m. in New York City, and it's a silent disaster. There's no flash of light. There's no crumbling. There's no earthquake. But each person in New York wakes up on an unfamiliar block after the buildings have all switched locations overnight. The power grid is snapped. Thousands of people are missing, and the Empire State Building is now on Coney Island. And the next night, it happens all over again. So this is all about scientists rushing to find a solution, and can the New Yorkers cope? Lots of unanswered questions here, but Denise Robbins tackles themes of climate change and political unrest in her fantastic debut, The Unmapping.
I like that because even for some, I'm not a natural science fiction reader, but when you put it in something real like that, and the premise of these are very tangible things, but they're simply switching locations mysteriously. I mean, not that intrigues me very much. So I'm glad to hear about that one. What do you have in the romance category next?
Romance. This is the genre I read the least amount of, so I don't know what that says about me as a person. Perhaps I'm just cold-hearted. I don't know. No. But we have Finders Keepers by Sarah Adler. And this book looks so cute. So it's about a woman named Nina who's a professor, and she's about to move into this fabulous new apartment with her fabulous boyfriend. But then suddenly she's single, unemployed, and living with her parents. Guess who also is home? Quentin, her childhood neighbor and childhood crush. He's back in town, and he wants to resume the treasure hunt that ended their friendship almost 2 decades ago. this treasure hunt, you're probably wondering about that. There's a rumor that this wealthy businessman in town left behind riches, and it's sort of like this game for people to track down these riches. So now Nina and Quentin are older and wiser. Can they find the treasure? But more important, can they pick up where they left off and maybe create a future together?
Okay.
Who knows?
All right. Let's attack some nonfiction.
Oh, I love nonfiction. This one I'm so excited about. It's called It's Only Drowning, a true story of learning to surf and the search for common ground. And this is by David Litt. So David Litt is a Yale-educated former speechwriter for President Obama, which I think is fabulous. And his existential dread blossoms as the crises in America pile up. But David notices that Matt, his brother-in-law, who's tattooed, he drives a truck, he loves Joe Rogan, his brother-in-law is super chill. So does Matt's favorite hobby, surfing, have something to do with this Zen vibe? So David decides to take up surfing himself, and he moves to the Jersey Shore and starts taking surfing lessons, even though he's terrified of sharks, and he wipes out over and over again. But he sets this goal of riding a big wave in Hawaii, and he and his brother-in-law, Matt, set out for this journey to the dangerous North Shore in Oahu. So his book, It's Only Drowning, is a laugh-out-loud love letter to surfing and unlikely friendships and embarking on adventures at any age.
Wow. We are talking to Laura Ann Bird about some of the new releases coming out for the summer. So we've covered those categories. What do we got left here? We got thrillers, mysteries. Let's do the thrillers next.
Yeah. Yeah. For the people who love to like have their mind messed around when they read books, these are hard for me because I get really messed up. But Lisa Jewell is a New York Times bestselling author. She's known for her thrillers. Her new thriller is coming out in June, Don't Let Him In, and it's described by early reviews as a jaw-dropping page-turner. So it's about a man named Nick who's got substance and good taste, and he's just what Nina needs in her life after her husband has died unexpectedly. But to Nina's adult daughter, Ash, Nick seems too slick, too polished, and too good to be true. So without telling her mom, Ash begins to dig into Nick's past, and what she finds is really unsettling. So the characters here are on a collision course with a shocking truth that is darker than anyone could have imagined. And the takeaway here is don't let him in.
Okay. Now we've moved on to mystery.
Mystery, Happy Wife by Meredith Lavender and Kendall Shores. So this is about a 28-year-old woman named Nora who's barely making ends meet. She's working at a country club in this super wealthy area of Florida. And then she meets a man named Will, who's an attorney. He's about 20 years older than her. And they begin this whirlwind romance and they get married, raising a ton of eyebrows, as you can imagine. But things get really crazy when Will vanishes the morning after a birthday party that Nora throws for him. So Happy Wife is a mystery that flips back and forth between Nora and Will's romance and the search for Will in the wake of his disappearance. So the authors here combine suspense and juicy social dynamics and a really unforgettable cast of characters.
All right. And one more takes us to the category, psychological suspense.
Psychological suspense. We go from a happy wife now to a happy marriage. So A.R. Torrey, the author here, poses the question, what holds a strong and loving marriage together? That's a great question. So this centers on Los Angeles homicide detective Dinah, and she's happily married to her psychiatrist husband, Joe. They seem compatible on the surface, but as it turns out, she's been keeping a secret from him, and he's been keeping a secret from her. So a missing woman tied to Dinah's latest case is admitted to Joe's hospital, and the doctor-patient confidentiality lands Joe and Dinah's marriage on really shaky ground. So things get messy really fast here as all these carefully constructed lies on both sides begin to cave in with the potential to kill. So that's all I will tell you.
Wow. Okay. We've got, that is a very ambitious list. And whether you want to get one of them or all seven of them, you can get those requests in now at your local library. And thanks to you, some folks are going to get it sooner than they would have otherwise. Because you'll be high up on the waiting list there. The other thing you can do is you can head over to bookshop.org as well as Libro.fm. I think I've got those two put up on screen as well here. There we go. Bookshop.org and Libro.fm, or your local independent bookseller. And would you you would suggest pre-ordering as being helpful as well, right, Laura?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, we had a little signal drop there by Laura. Tell you what, I'll tell you more about that, and then we'll talk to Laura when she pops back on here in just a bit. But again, bookshop.org is basically your Amazon alternative, if you will, to support independent bookstores. And Libro.fm, Libro.fm, is the equivalent of that for audiobooks, and you can go and support your local bookseller that way. And that's what I did through the bookshop.org. I don't know where my nearest local independent bookshop is. I went there and found out that there's a store in Menominee that I could patronize, and did that. And I'll talk to Laura about my latest purchase when we communicate next. Here on Mornings Across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Wrightlaw.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, let's continue our conversation with author Laura Ann Bird. We heard about some of the things that are going to be big on summer reading lists coming up throughout the next couple of months here as people, you know, check out their libraries or their local independent bookseller as well. And Laura, I was saying just before the break that, you know, based on what you said, I went to bookshop.org to find out, you know, a local independent bookstore that I could support, and made my first purchase to benefit a place in Menominee. So far, so good. I'm a new customer. And I want to tell you, the first purchase I made is because I've been told for 20 plus years, you ought to write something. You ought to write, you know, something about your time in TV or your time in politics or whatever. And I would try every so often, and it just didn't seem to come together, and I'd get impatient. Mm-hmm. So my first purchase was a book about creative writing. I'm so used to writing in a news style. And so I've got this thing is 640 pages. It's called The Making of a Story. It's called A Norton Guide to Creative Writing. Mm. And so I wondered if you had any other words of encouragement for people who think they might have a story in them, but have had trouble getting it onto the page.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, Pat. I would say my number one book that I really suggest you read, anybody reads with any sort of creative ambitions, is Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. And the subtitle is Creative Living Beyond.
Oh, I think we done lost her again. Yep, I think we got a signal issue there. So, Laura, if you pop back up, just pick up where you left off here. But I was not expecting something quite this big, you know, when it came about creative writing. And it is a very, you know, real thing. And I think Laura's calling in right now, so Greg will let me know when she's on and ready to join us again. To write in one style and then look at Tony right away on YouTube. So you're writing a book. Are you sure you're not running for office? Tony, I promise you, I am not running for office. Laura, do we have you on the phone now?
I'm on the phone. Once again, technical difficulties.
that's all right. So anyway, I was asking for advice, and I'm sure you've gotten this because you are a published author. You're working on, did you say you're working on your third one?
I am. I'm working on my third middle grade novel. So I write for kiddos ages 8 to 12, mm-hmm. and I have two books already out, and so I'm writing a third one. And they're considered standalone companion stories, so they all kind of fit together. They all take place in the same small town in northern Wisconsin, but they feature different main characters in each one. So yes, I'm working on my third. Just last week I finished my second draft of that, which in some ways I think is the hardest draft to write. So I'm hoping that I'm getting there, you know, bit by bit, chipping away.
So when people do say, well, how do you get started and how do you mm-hmm. how do you make the time and everything else? What do you tell folks? Right.
Well, okay, you were asking kind of about craft books before, and I think one thing I would point people to, if they have any sort of creative ambitions or any sort of like little desire in the back of their head to maybe write a book someday, but it's not just about writing. You know, if you're a painter or you want to start a business, you have any sort of ambition of creating something new, I love the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. It's called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. And Pat, I can't recommend this enough. She, Elizabeth Gilbert, is probably best known for her memoir, Eat, Pray, Love, which came out, gosh, probably 20, 25 years ago, and it was made into a movie starring Julia Roberts, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. But Elizabeth Gilbert wrote this book called Big Magic, and she writes about the creative process, about how creative ideas are sort of sent down to us from the creative universe, and they roll along to us, and it's our job to scoop them up and to do something with them, or they roll along to someone else. And so if you have an idea for a book, if there's something you might want to write about someday, the creative universe has sent you this idea, Pat, and it's your job to follow through, or it's going to roll along to someone else. And Liz Gilbert writes so beautifully and so compelling about, you know, listening to that and honoring those creative impulses. So it's more of creative inspiration, if you will, as mm-hmm. opposed to, like, it's not the nuts and bolts of actually sitting down to write a book, but I would definitely start there with Big Magic.
Sure. Okay. Well, no, that's another great recommendation. And how does it work for you when you decide that it's time to sit and do some writing? Are you one of those folks that do you have to lock yourself in a room and nobody can interrupt you for, you know, 12 mm-hmm. hours? Or are you one of those that just puts on mm-hmm. some headphones in a coffee shop and taps some things out? What's your own process?
Great question. Well, my first book, which I wrote before the pandemic, I wrote probably 95% of it at a coffee shop here in Madison. I found that the white noise, you know, of kind of the you know, espresso being, you know, foamed up and everything, and the quiet talking in the background, that really helped me. And it also helped to be out of my house, you know, where I wasn't surrounded by laundry and a dishwasher to unload. But then the pandemic happened and I kind of stopped writing in coffee shops, and I wrote my second book all at my house. Same with my third book. I've pretty much been here in my office at my home in Madison. I don't like to be bothered, so I shut my door, and it helps that my kids are all at school. I don't have any kids at home anymore. I like quiet music in the background. I think the number one thing is putting your phone in a different room so that you are not tempted to pick up your phone. And I think it helps if you know, close down like your email so that when you're writing, you don't see messages popping up on the screen and you don't feel that need, you know, to toggle back and forth between your document and sure. an email.
Okay. The distraction. Separate from my phone. I will try. I'll try. Laura Ann Bird, thank you so much, as always, for the recommendations and the advice, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, right. Pat. Take care.
Yep. Have a great day. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff. We'll also have an update from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Greg Bach is back in 1 hour for Matt and Air on Air. And I believe, Greg, you again said Todd Alba is going to be joining you there. So
yes, sir.
Tune in for that. And remember, you can follow my team over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. You can sign up for our newsletters and follow us on social media and follow us here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.